An inevitable part of life is the end of it. No one cheats death, of course, but most of us don't know exactly when our time will be up. Longtime Boston Globe reporter Jack Thomas is an exception. After a recent cancer diagnosis, doctors estimate that Jack's time will run out in a matter of months. It's got him thinking, how do you prepare for death?
Several years ago, in pursuit of a degree at Harvard, at the ripe old age of 70, I took a seminar in essay writing. Each week we had to compose an essay, and one week I imagined I had been told by doctors that I would die within a few months. In the essay, I pulled out all the stops. I described whom and what I'd miss. I wrote that I hoped for a comfortable afterlife, and I wondered if I would be able to hear my favorite music, choose my savory foods that I like so much, and even whether my newspaper would arrive on time. To my great surprise, my classmates took my essay literally. They held the door for me, and they heaped praise upon my writing. I never had the courage to tell them that it wasn't true. But now destiny is getting even with me. After a week of blood tests and scans, I have been diagnosed with cancer. It's inoperable. Doctors say it will kill me, not in years, but in months. As the saying goes, fate has dealt me one from the bottom of the deck, and I am now condemned to confront the question that has plagued me for years. How will I spend the final months of my life? Till now, life's been grand. I have a beautiful wife, two loving daughters, a devoted son, and I was lucky. From age 14, I knew I wanted to be a newspaper man, a career H.L. Mencken described as the life of kings. I started at the Boston Globe as a copy boy, and what followed were beats as police reporter, city editor, national correspondent, and ombudsman, to name a few. As newspapers go, death has a full-time job. And so, like many reporters, I've written a lot about it, about murders, about suicides, fatal accidents. And yet not every story about death has been depressing. I interviewed a man in Florida who was 104 years old. When I arrived at his nursing home, he was not, as I had expected, sitting around in a bathrobe drooling. He was dressed in a sports jacket, as he did every day, and he was reading a book about the history of the Civil War. Editing the final details of one's life is like editing a story for the final time. It's the last shot you have at making corrections, the last rewrite before the roll of the presses. It's been more painful than I thought to throw away files and paperwork that seemed critical to my survival just 2 weeks ago, like notebooks for stories that will never be written. What's different? Every day I look at my wife's face more adoringly. In the garden, I stare at the long row of blue hydrangeas with more appreciation than before. And my 40 rose bushes brought greater joy this year, not merely in their massive sprays of color, but also in their soft petals and in the aroma that reminded me of my boyhood. As my life nears the finish line, the list of things I'll miss grows. Morning hugs from my wife, the laughter of my daughters and my son, my homes in Cambridge and Falmouth, Massachusetts, chilled Hendrix martinis with a lemon twist. There'll be no more lazy afternoons on Boston Harbor aboard my little sailboat, the Butterfly, and no more surprise telephone calls from buddies in Boston and Buffalo and Marblehead, who never hang up the telephone without saying, "I love you, Jack." I wish the afterlife were arranged so that I could hear Beethoven's Symphony No. 7 again. I'd test whoever's in charge immediately by requesting "Till We Meet Again" by the great clarinetist George Lewis. In this final chapter of my life, I feel the same uncomfortable transition that I knew as a teenager packing up to go home after a grand summer at camp in New Hampshire. I'm not sure what awaits me, but this has certainly been an exciting experience. I had a loving family. I had a great career in newspapers. I met fascinating people, and I saw a myriad of worldwide wonders. It's been full of fun and lots of laughter, too. A really good time. I just wish I could stay a little longer.
Jack Thomas spent 6 decades working at the Boston Globe, where this essay originally appeared. For a link to the essay and photos of Jack and his family, visit WBUR.org.